We're continuing with The Mystery of Providence by John Flavel at the bottom of page 391. The sixth performance of Providence. Thus you see the care Providence hath over you in your youth, in respect to that civil employment to which it guided you in those days. We will in the next place consider it as our guide and the orderer of our relations for us. That Providence hath a special hand in this matter is evident both from scripture assertions and the acknowledgments of holy men, who in that great concernment of their lives have still owned and acknowledged the directing hand of Providence. Take an instance of both. The scripture plainly asserts the dominion of Providence over this affair in Proverbs 19:14, a prudent wife is from the Lord, and Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favour of the Lord. So for children, see Psalm 127:3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And it had ever been the practice of holy men so to seek the Lord for direction and counsel when they have been upon the change of their condition. No doubt but Abraham's encouragement in that case was the fruit of prayer, Genesis 24:7. His pious servant also, who was employed in that affair, did both earnestly seek counsel of God, Genesis 24:12, and thankfully acknowledge his gracious providence in guiding it, verses 26 and 27. The same we may observe in children, the fruit of marriage, 1 Samuel 1:20, Luke 1:13 and 14. Now the providence of God may be diverse ways displayed for the engaging of our hearts in love to the God of our mercies. 1. There is very much of providence seen in appointing the parties each for other. In this the Lord goes oftentimes beyond our thoughts and projections, yea, and oftentimes crosses men's desires and designs to their great advantage. Not what they fancy, but what his infinite wisdom judges best and most beneficial for them takes place. Hence it is that probabilities are so often dashed, and things remote and utterly improbable are brought about in very strange and unaccountable methods of providence. 2. There is much of providence seen in the harmony and agreeableness of tempers and dispositions, from whence a very great part of the tranquillity and comforts of our lives result, or at least, though natural tempers and educations did not so much harmonize before, yet they did so after they came under the ordinance of God, Genesis 2:24, they too shall be one flesh, not only in respect of God's institution, but one in respect of love and affection, that those who so lately were mere strangers to each other are now endeared to a degree beyond the nearest relations in blood, as above, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. 3. But especially providence is remarkable in making one instrumental to the eternal good of the other. 1 Corinthians 7:16. How knowest thou, O wife, but thou mayest save thy husband, or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Hence is that grave exhortation to the wives of unbelieving husbands, 1 Peter 3:1, to win them by their conversation, which should be to them instead of an ordinance. Or if both be gracious, then what singular assistance and mutual help is hereby gained to the furtherance of their eternal good, whilst they live together as heirs of the grace of life, 1 Peter 3:7. O blessed providence that directed such into so intimate relation on earth, who shall inherit together the common salvation in heaven. 4. how much of providence is seen in children, the fruit of marriage, to have any posterity in the earth and not be left altogether as a dry tree, to have comfort and joy in them, is a special providence importing a special mercy to us. To have the breaches made upon our families repaired is a providence to be owned with a thankful heart. When God shall say to a man, as he speaks in another case to the church, Isaiah 49:20, the children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, the place is too straight for me, etc. And these providences will appear more affectingly sweet and lovely to you if you but compare its allotments to you with what it had allotted to many others in the world. For do but look abroad, and you shall find, one, multitudes unequally yoked to the embittering of their lives, whose relations are clogs and hindrances both in temporals and spirituals. Yea, we find an account in Scripture of gracious persons, a great part of whose comfort in this world hath been split upon this rock. Abigail was a discreet and virtuous woman, but very unsuitably matched to a churlish Nabal. See Samuel, 1 Samuel 25:25. What a temptation to the neglect of a known duty prevailed upon the renowned Moses by the means of Zipporah his wife, Exodus 4:24-25. David had his scoffing Michael, 2 Samuel 6:20, and patient Job, no small addition to all his other afflictions, from the wife of his bosom, who should have been a support to him in the day of his trouble, Job 19:17. No doubt, but God sanctifies such rods to his people's good. If Socrates knew how to improve his affliction in his Xantippe to the increase of his patience, much more will they who converse with God under all providences, whether sweet or bitter. Nevertheless, this must be acknowledged to be a sad stroke upon any person, and such as maims them upon the working hand by unfitting them for duty, 1 Peter 3:7, and cuts off much of the comfort of life also. 2. How many are there who never enjoy the countable fruits of marriage, but are denied the sight, at least the enjoyment of children? Jeremiah 22:30, thus saith the Lord, write this man childless, etc. Or if they have children, yet cannot enjoy them, Hosea 4:12, though they bring up children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left, who only bear for the grave, and have their expectations raised for a greater affliction to themselves. 3. And it is no rare or unusual thing to see children and near relations the greatest instruments of affliction to their parents and friends, so that after all their other sorrows and troubles in the world, nearest relations bring up the rear of sorrows, as one speaks, and prove greater griefs than any other. Oh, how many parents have complained with the tree in the fable that their very hearts have been torn asunder with those wedges that were cut out of their own bodies. What a grief was Esau to Isaac and Rebekah, Genesis 26:34-35. What a scourge were Absalom and Amnon to David. Well then, if God have set the solitary in families as it is, Psalm 68:6, built an house for the desolate, giving you comfortable relations which are springs of daily comfort and refreshment to you, you are upon many accounts engaged to walk answerably to these gracious providences, and that you may understand wherein that decorum and agreeable comportment with these providences consist, take up the sense of your duty in these brief hints. 1. Ascribe to God the glory of all those providential works which yield you comfort. You see a wise, directing, governing providence which hath disposed and ordered all things beyond your own projections and designs. The way of man is not in himself, nor is it in him that walketh to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10:23. Not what you projected, but what an higher counsel than yours determined is come to pass. Good Jacob, when God had made him the father of a family, admired God in the mercy. Genesis 32:10. With my staff, said he, I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. And how doth this mercy humble and melt him? I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. 2. Be exact in discharging the duties of those relations which so gracious a providence hath led you into. Abuse not the effects of so much mercy and love to you. The Lord expects praise wherever you have comfort. This aggravated David's sin, that he should dare to abuse so great love and mercy as God had shown him in his family relations. 2 Samuel 12:7-9. 3. Improve relations to the end providence designed them. Walk together as co-heirs of the grace of life. Study to be mutual blessings to each other. So walk in your relations that the parting day may be sweet. Death will shortly break up the family, and then nothing but the sense of duty discharged or the neglects pardoned will give comfort.